From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man, we pick up where we ended on our previous broadcast and present more of a pre-recorded episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank is talking with Dr. Craig Evans, Distinguished Professor of Christian Origins at Houston Christian University and a featured scholar in the documentary film Fragments of Truth, Ancient Documents, New Discoveries. Let's now join Hank Hanegraaff and Professor Evans in their conversation.
What about this notion that these copyists have dramatically affected essential Christian doctrine?
It's widely assumed that all of these scribes were Christians and were theologically sensitive and theologically in tune with what Christians believe. There's been a very important dissertation in Australia published just a few years ago that talks about who were these scribes that made these copies. His conclusion is they were all professional scribes, and probably only a minority of them were even Christians at all. They were professional scribes who were paid to make accurate copies. They weren't paid to be editors. They weren't paid to be exegetes or theologians. And so they had no dog in the fight. They don't necessarily even understand what they're reading. They're just simply copying the text. So the whole idea of some kind of conspiracy, whether they're anti-Semites or people with different Christological views, altering the text in one direction or another, is simply absurd on so many levels. And then, of course, my concluding argument, there isn't any evidence of that. These changes that Ehrman and others point to are later alterations in an already recognized established text. And so there really isn't any problem. That's why Bart Ehrman's own professor, Bruce Metzger, a recognized, honored professor of textual criticism, stated a long time ago that of the 20,000 lines or so that make up the New Testament, only 40 lines have any question in them at all where we're not really sure how it originally read. And by the way, we're talking about a single word almost always. And not one of those examples impact a significant Christian teaching in any way. So that's the bottom line. And Bart Ehrman, you may not know this, but in the second edition of Misquoting Jesus that he wrote, in a second edition, in an appendix, he concedes that. So it's much ado about nothing.
One of the things that I love about Fragments of Truth is that you're making a point in that movie, in that DVD, in that video, you're making a point about how Jesus taught his disciples to communicate, which is, he wasn't teaching them to merely parrot back what he was saying word for word. He wanted them to understand and therefore to be able to communicate in their own words what he was saying, because they were going to be sent out into all kinds of circumstances, all kinds of different cultures, so they had to really grasp these truths. So it was a matter of capturing the essential wisdom of Christ as opposed to capturing his exact words, the essential voice of Jesus as opposed to exact verbiage. And this is one of the tripping points for Bart Ehrman. He wants the four gospel writers as a case in point to say everything in exactly the same way, and if they don't, he sees contradiction.
Well, you're right on that, and he has been called out on that by me in debates, but also by others in writing on blogs and so on, that he's operating from a fundamentalist, a naive fundamentalist epistemology. And so even though he says, look, I don't believe anything anymore, I'm an apostate, and so on, he still reasons, he still argues, his benchmark still seems to be this kind of a naive epistemology, and you described it really well, where everything has to be exactly the same, and it's unrealistic. It reflects a later, naive, modern apologetic. It doesn't reflect the actual pedagogy of Jesus and his contemporaries. It doesn't reflect the actual historiography of the time under which the gospel writers operated. And so I know you're alluding to that passage in Matthew 13. Jesus has taught his disciples a series of parables relating to the kingdom. He asked them, "Have you understood all this?" They say yes, and then it's in verse 52, Matthew 13:52. He says, well, if they've understood it, therefore every scribe who has been trained, literally discipled, for the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure, his thesaurus, his treasure box, what is new and what is old. And what Jesus is saying here is, look, I don't want disciples who are trained parrots who simply repeat word for word what I say. I want disciples who understand what I say and can translate it into other languages, can paraphrase it, and can adapt it to other cultures, other settings, so that people anywhere in the world can understand it and learn from it.
You know, what I love about what you just said is that Bart Ehrman has, in fact, transitioned from a fundamentalist on the right to a fundamentalist on the left. And so he is trying to take biblical passages, and most particularly parables of Jesus, and he wants them to walk on all fours. It is absolutely astounding how fundamentalistic he is. Now, we want to adhere to the fundamentals, but we don't want to be fundamentalists. And he is definitely that, but as now someone who has proceeded to the far left extreme.
Well, I think you're right. And, you know, I don't want to be unfair to Bart. I know him. I'm on friendly terms with him. And we've debated publicly five times. We actually have a book coming out in the fall with Westminster John Knox Press. It's from one of our debates that we did in New Orleans. And people can see our opposing statements about whether or not the New Testament is reliable. And, you know, he's a conflicted individual. In fact, he's been challenged in debates where Dan Wallace did this one time. It was quite funny, where he said, before the debate gets underway, I have to ask Professor Ehrman, which Bart Ehrman is here tonight? The scholar who doesn't say crazy things, extreme things, or the popularizer who does this kind of extreme stuff? And everybody laughed, and even Bart himself smiled. So there is this two-side thing here. You get the fundamentalist who's responding to naive fundamentalism, people who naively think you can't have any paraphrasing. It all has to be word for word, exactly the same way. Everything has to be harmonized. And then you've got the scholarly Bart on the other side who knows, along with the rest of us scholars, that in fact it doesn't have to be that way. Jesus didn't teach his disciples to be that way.
I'm certainly glad that you're around, because a lot of scholars can't debate very well, but you not only have done the hard work that scholars have to do, but you're an incredible communicator. In Fragments of Truth, you not only demonstrate that the extant manuscripts get you very close to the original writings, but that any gap that might remain is closed by the church. In other words, by what Paul calls the pillar and the ground of truth. And that gets you very, very close, if not right back to the original writings themselves and the teachings of Jesus and the apostles.
Well, you're right, and that's why the study and the question of the longevity, that is, how long the autographs, the first copies, the original copies of Scripture, and then, of course, the immediate copies that were made, how long did they remain in circulation? Well, this has been a topic of very interesting discussion for about a decade. We're making progress. And what we've learned is that autographs in antiquity were treasured. We see this in testimonies of pagans and the testimonies of Christians. Autographs of celebrated teachers and authoritative teachers and so on were treasured and preserved. And it just so happens that these writings made of parchment or made out of papyrus, that's durable material, were able to last hundreds of years. We have solid archaeological evidence of that. We have the testimonies as well. And so this then explains the question that has been raised in the past. How was it the text of the New Testament was able to be so stable without there being a magisterium, without there being some kind of authoritative body in the church in the second century that controlled that? There was no United Bible Society in the second century. So how did the text remain so stable? And part of the answer is the autographs themselves remained in circulation a long time, and they were studied and compared, and that exerted a controlling factor over the preservation of the text. And I think that answers that. And that's been an exciting area of study that I'm glad I've been part of in recent years.
Don't go away. We'll be right back and rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Professor Craig Evans. Where did we discover the manuscript copies of the New Testament, and where can you find them today? In the film Fragments of Truth, Dr. Craig Evans travels the globe to track down the most ancient New Testament manuscripts and highlights groundbreaking new evidence demonstrating that the case for the reliability of the New Testament manuscripts is stronger than ever. To receive your DVD of Fragments of Truth, Ancient Documents, New Discoveries for yourself, or as a terrific gift for a friend or loved one, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. However, his life and ministry were radically transformed by another three-word phrase, life matters more. Truth matters because Christianity is rooted in history and evidence. Life matters more because it is the experience of union with God. The goal of Christian life is union with God. All attempts to understand Christianity from a solely rational perspective put us in danger of devolving into a transactional rather than transformational relationship with God. Truth Matters, Life Matters More will equip you to move beyond intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing Him in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org. If you're not horrified, you should be, because the relentless assaults of wokeism on sanity and common sense have now reached a fevered pitch. In fact, some astute observers see more than deranged ideologies at work. It's as though the gates of hell have been opened. And alarmingly, the speed of this mindless rush to chaos and potential civilizational collapse is gaining momentum daily. That means Christians need to wake up and wake up fast. One of the best alarm clocks is the upcoming special Woke edition of the Christian Research Journal. It contains sobering articles with penetrating analyses of a social disease that is reaching a flashpoint. To receive your copy of this special edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Can we trust the Bible? The Christian faith is firmly rooted in the teachings of the New Testament, but can we really trust the Bible? Skeptics will tell you that the authenticity of the Bible cannot be trusted, arguing that the gospel manuscripts have been doctored to push a theological agenda. In the Faith Life original film, Fragments of Truth, Dr. Craig Evans takes this claim head-on, traveling around the world to investigate the most ancient New Testament manuscripts available. Along the way, Dr. Evans highlights groundbreaking new evidence demonstrating that the case for the reliability of the New Testament manuscripts is not just strong, it is stronger than ever. To receive your DVD of Fragments of Truth, Ancient Documents, New Discoveries, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.
Let's rejoin Hank Hanegraaff and Professor Craig Evans as they continue their conversation.
The autographs themselves remained in circulation a long time, and they were studied and compared, and that exerted a controlling factor over the preservation of the text.
In fact, I was going to talk about this a little later, but the graphical depiction of what you just said is worth the price of the DVD. It's absolutely incredible because you see that instead of manuscripts popping up here, there as individual blocks, you have whole lines that get you all the way back to the very early centuries of the church.
Well, yeah, and I think the graphics in our film are just superb and illustrate that so well. What the graphics show is if you have most of the New Testament writings, probably all of them written in the second half of the first century, so say 50 to 100, and then if the autographs live on for 200 years or even just 150 years, that takes us all the way to the end of the second century, beginning of third century. Well, by that point, we have a substantial portion of the Greek New Testament extant. We actually have old papyrus manuscripts. You can go look at them at the Chester Beatty. You can go look at them at Oxford or Cambridge or Geneva or Rome, and that's what we did in our film. There they are. So a substantial portion of the New Testament extant today in manuscripts written when the autographs still existed, still circulated, still were studied. And of course, these papyri that you can go look at today existed when the great codices, such as Vaticanus or Sinaiticus, written in the 4th century, were produced. So there is no gap. There is no time when we just don't know, well, you know, for 100 years, there's no testimony at all. That just isn't true. And so we have this unbroken line of continuity from the original authors until the manuscripts that we have in our possession today. So that helps rule out this idea that changes that were made, and then somehow they got away with it.
Just for clarity, a lot of people listening in like flies on the wall to what we're discussing may not know the distinction between papyrus and parchment or what a codex is, and may not understand that a lot of the parchment that we're talking about is not the same. You have lectionaries, church readings, you have uncials, minuscules. Can you unpack that a little bit for us?
Sure, that's right. What it is papyrus is a brilliant, just an amazing discovery. In Egypt, that's where it flourished. They're reeds and they're cut in strips. The strips are laid out horizontally and then a layer of strips laid out vertically on top of them. They're pressed together and a couple of days later, you have this piece of paper. It's grainy, it's kind of a beige, light yellow color, and it's remarkably durable. After it's dried out, it remains very flexible, like modern paper. It gets rubbed, and then you're ready to write on it. Parchment is animal skin that's been stretched and also rubbed. And so those happen to be two very durable media, and that's why these documents from antiquity can last so long. We have papyri that's 3,000 years old, for example. Now, in antiquity, the papyrus pages were glued together, and then they were rolled up as a book roll or a scroll. Same with the animal skin. The famous Dead Sea Scrolls are that. They're rolled up. They're book rolls or scrolls. But also, notebooks were just single pages, sometimes pieces of wood with wax, and they were like tablets, and they were for taking notes. Christians liked that layout, and so they started making books. Now, I'm not saying Christians invented the modern book, and of course, the Latin word for that is codex, but Christians popularized it. They preferred the book form as opposed to the book roll or scroll. And by the time we got to the 4th century, the entire world was using the codex, and we still use it to this day.
So Let's talk about some of the manuscript fragments that are discussed in Fragments of Truth, one of them being P52, the John Rylands manuscript, a very little fragment that contains words from, I think it's John 18, right? John 18?
Yes, so
talk about the significance of this fragment. I often talk about it as the daddy of them all.
Yeah, that's right. P52 is the papyrus number we give it for the Greek New Testament. It's 457 is the actual document number for Manchester. It's, first of all, it's a page from a book. We know that because there's writing on both sides of the page. On a book roll, you have it only on one side. So it comes from John chapter 18, and it's parts of a few verses, 31, 32, and you flip it over, and on the other side, a couple pieces of 37, 38. And, of course, it agrees with the reading that we have. So right away, it's an early witness to the stability of the text. In other words, it doesn't show some kind of wild variant that's hard to explain. The other thing it shows is, because it is so old, it just shows you, it makes that point about durability that I was just mentioning. We date this fragment. I know it's popular to say it dates to 125. That's being way too precise. It's better to just simply say it dates to the first half of the second century. When it was published in the 1930s, papyrologists had studied it, and the date range was the 90s to about the 150s, 160s. And so Colin Roberts, who published it, just, you know, said, okay, let's just go right down the middle and say 125. And so that's how it got that official date. But you need to understand, you know, you can't date anything that precisely unless there actually is a date written on it. So that's where it came from. And by the way, the controversial fragment of Mark that was early and got published 2 years ago dates to the end of the second century. So it dates to perhaps 50, 60 years of this fragment of John. And so who knows how many more early fragments we'll find. But the significance of these early fragments is they keep confirming that the text is stable. Eldon Epp, who is no conservative by any means, Eldon Epp has made the same point. A well-known, long retired now, but well-known New Testament textual critic. And he says, you know, we have now over 130 papyri of the New Testament published. And he has said, quote, there are no surprises. And that's a rather understated way of saying that the text is quite stable and the papyri support that.
I want to talk a little bit about the reverence we ought to have for these fragments. I spoke at the University of Tehran in Iran and Alma Tabetaba, the sociology university, a number of years ago. And the one thing you see there is the reverence that the Muslims have for the Quran. They would never put it on the floor, for example. They always elevate it. Oftentimes they kiss sacred objects. And I think when we're talking about fragments, some people could say, well, these are just fragments, big deal, let's move on, let's talk about something more exciting. But I think there's a reverence that we ought to have, and many people do have for these fragments, such that we kiss them because these fragments are set apart by God as holy.
Well, you know, as a matter of fact, when we interviewed John Hodgson, John is the curator for the ancient Greek manuscripts at Manchester, and he gave a very good interview, and he's in the film. You see him there. And he makes that point how I think he, that, you know, of course, I hear the whole interview. I hear an interview for an hour, and then we use 2 minutes of it. But I believe it's in the film where he talks about how people come and see P52, they realize they're looking at a very old fragment of the Gospel of John. It, for all we know, it could have been copied from the original John itself, which means if that's true, the scribe who held the pen and wrote out P52 also held in his hand the autograph of John. In any case, he says people begin to weep. They'll actually be on their knees. They'll put their hand against the glass case in which P52 is exhibited. They'll pray. They'll have a moment of great emotion and devotion. He finds it fascinating. and how true that is. And then, of course, in my own research, where the church fathers talk about old manuscripts, a bishop in the beginning of the 3rd century, in reference to the original of the Gospel of John, he says it's at Ephesus, and people go there to see it, and it's venerated. I find that really interesting. It's like, what's changed? The reaction to the autograph of John is essentially the same back then as it is now.
What's cool about this as you're talking is I think that when people get a sense of the significance of these fragments, they're probably going to look at their Bible in a whole new light. Rather than just taking it for granted, they're going to recognize that they have something that is absolutely extraordinary, as it were, from the hand of God Himself.
Well, we've run out of time for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Be sure to tune in again next time when we will continue Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Dr. Craig Evans. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, Hank would like to send you the film on DVD, Fragments of Truth, Ancient Documents, New Discoveries. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is 2 books in 1. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.